Before we start, a quick message for our landscaping listeners. On May the 8th, Mark Bradley, the founder and CEO of LMN, and myself are doing a free web class on how to create more accountability in your business through effective one-on-one meetings with your staff. Get your crews in the field and your team in the office on track with laser focus through Breakthrough Academy's GSR system. We're going to teach you how to do it on May 8th. Don't miss it. Click the link in the description to register now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Contract Revolution. Returning today is a friend of the show. You know him, Marcus Sheridan. He is the author of They Ask, You Answer. He's a world-renowned keynote speaker. He works with a lot of the biggest brands in the world. And he's written a new book called The Visual Sale. So today's conversation, and in fact, this book, is all about video, why your business and brand needs it, and how you can begin investing in it. There were too many highlights to list, but I'll try to give you three here. He provides the exact word-for-word ChatGPT prompt that you can use to help give you your first 50 video ideas. We talk about the six core videos every modern website needs and why. And last week, we get into how to actually get started with this. Where do you invest first? Is it better to hire an agency or a video production company? Should you build this capacity out in-house? What about all the gear and equipment? We answer all those questions. Look, even if you hate being on camera, even if, like me, you don't use social media in your personal life, this isn't about you. It's about your company. Take the plunge. Invest in video. Your business 5 years from now will thank you. I promise. Without further ado, let's dive in with Marcus.
You're listening to Contractor Evolution, where we unpack the systems, tactics, and skills you need to take your fast-growing contracting business to the next level.
If you're here to learn what it takes to scale up, work less, and increase profitability, you've come to the right place.
Stay tuned to learn what separates the new breed of contractor from the old school, and welcome to your ultimate guide on the business of contracting.
Marcus Sheridan, welcome back to the podcast. It's good to see you, brother. How are you?
You too, Benji. We're ready to rock and roll, man. We're going to have a good chat.
A fun one to start. We read The Visual Sale this past year, and the main takeaway, if I had to summarize it in a sentence, you're a polite guy. So I'm saying this. I'm not saying you're saying this. I'm saying this is my takeaway. But the takeaway basically was, in a sentence, you're an idiot if you don't start investing in video right now. Do you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah. I think that's a pretty solid takeaway. My life changed when I stopped thinking I'm a pool guy and started thinking I'm a media company that happens to sell pools. Night and day difference in terms of approach to my business that way, right? Because when you're a media company, everything can be a story. Everything can be content. Everything that you do can help build your brand. And we know we've got this world that's just moving towards all things visual and video. And I think video is only going to become more prolific now that we have AI and ChatGPT. People are going to be looking for more like human companies and human experiences and anything that says and shows that you actually have a soul, right? And so more than any time in the history of the world, seeing is believing. We want to see it. And I always tell folks, especially like if you're listening to this, and let's say you're in home improvement or any industry, it doesn't matter, but let's say you go into a home. If you go into a home to sell something and they haven't already heard your voice, if they haven't already seen your face, if they haven't already learned something from you, you have utterly failed that person. And that is an indictment completely and utterly on your sales and marketing process. They should feel like they've seen you, they've heard you, they know you, thus they trust you. And if they don't feel that way, you got to do a shakeup seriously with your company right now. Something's wrong.
That ChatGPT comment is really interesting. I actually hadn't thought of that angle. Basically, it's like as things become more AI driven, which, I know the futurists are all excited about, but to me, it's like it gets more and more soul sucking, more grayscale, more uniform, more boring. It's my personal take. That's going to put a more pronounced scarcity and demand for like realness shown through videos. So like if a brand is trying to show the humanity of itself, video is obviously the best medium to do that. And it's going to really stand out in a sea of generative AI, large language models, and whatever comes next. So that's a really interesting angle. But is there anything else, statistics, trends, observations from your work on this that sort of emboldens why you're so
like,
bullish?
For example, like we know that 80% of the content consumed online is video, right? So think about the amount of content that's consumed online right now. We know that over 80% of it is video.
Right.
Which is stunning. There's a reason why pretty much the only channels that are growing are all video centric. Right. Every single one of them, very video centric. It's just where we're headed. And when the rising generation comes up, I mean, they're just going to be even more, I need to see this in order to engage, in order to buy, in order to click purchase, whatever, you know, in order to fill out the form, in order to call them, I need to see this. We know that the average buyer today is 80% through the buyer's journey before they reach out to a company, 80%. And that what is represented in that is the way they're vetting companies, the way they're learning about products and services, because we know that we do not want to talk to a company until we're good and ready. Mm-hmm. In fact, they did a recent study, Gartner did, that said 33% of all buyers would prefer to have a seller-free sales experience.
How many? What was the percentage? 33%?
Yeah, one in three. All buyers say they would prefer to have a seller-free sales experience. Now, do you think that number's going up or down?
Going up.
We know it ain't going down, right? And in fact, since that study was done 2 years ago, it's probably now over 40%. So the question is, what do you do? Do you embrace the trend, which the smart companies do, or do you resist the trend? You sit there and say to yourself, well, my buyer's different. That's not the way that it works in my industry, right?
Right.
Just such dumb thinking. And people, man, I have never seen an extraordinary company live in that place of, but you don't understand, our buyer's different. I've never seen like somebody do something exceptional there. Whereas if you say, yeah, my business is based on trust. Yeah, my business is going to be impacted by the way the world is changing and the way the world is evolving. Yeah, we're not the exception to the rule. Sure, it doesn't matter my opinions on video. The only thing that matters is the marketplace. You know, I learned a long time ago, don't allow your personal opinions to script smart business decisions. It doesn't freaking matter if you like TikTok. Nobody gives a rip. Mm-hmm. I don't like TikTok, but I use it for my business because that's what I committed to when I got into business, was to meet the marketplace where they are. That's how it works. Nobody, you know, people say sometimes, I don't really like video. Okay. Nobody in the history of the world has ever been on a website and looking for a video to learn about a product or a service and said, no video here, but that's totally okay. I'm sure they're just really nervous about being on camera. I'm going to give them a pass. Never happened in the history of the world.
Right. I was just like digging around for some stats on this. The 2023 numbers that I saw were the average North American spends 17 per hours a week consuming video. That sounds low to me, but that's what it said. 66% of the population chooses video as their primary source of info. And then 96% of consumers are actively seeking video content before they buy products or services, just to kind of pack a few more stats in there. So, and I that comment bears repeating. It's like, it really does. Your personal opinion, your ethics or morals, your thoughts on this are somewhat irrelevant. It is about where the audience and where the eyeballs go. And for all intents and purposes, it seems abundantly clear to me at this point that this is the way things are headed. I said this, I sort of explained this idea the other day on our 2024 predictions episode, but it ties in nicely to this. I was listening to Jeff Bezos on the Lex Fridman podcast about a month ago. And Lex was asked.
You must have a lot of time on your hands, 3 hours of your day right there, brother.
It was a drive. It was a 4-hour drive.
I was going to say, yeah. You got to choose long drives if you're going to listen to Lex.
It was a long drive. But you know what? You're totally right. Some of them are 4 or 5 hours. And I go, Lex, buddy, you got, come on. Let's go short form here. But anyway, it was a long drive. I got really into kind of a nice listening pocket. And we got to this section where Lex is asking him about strategy and how he makes decisions and how he sets goals. And I'm going to botch this, but Jeff was basically explaining, they're talking about Amazon specifically. He was explaining in an environment, in a world where the rate of change is so dizzyingly swift, is eye-wateringly fast, what I look for are assumptions that I know as much as anyone can know will be true 10 years from now. He's talking about Amazon. He goes, do I know that 10 years from now people are still going to like cheap prices, low prices? Yeah, I know that. Do I know 10 years from now people are still going to want a fast and convenient delivery? Yeah, I know that. So those are bets that I've made on my strategy, on my platform.
They're principles.
They're principles. And it seems so obvious, it almost like, why are you saying it's like, duh. But there is something important packed in there, which is like, in this crazy world we're living in, as a business, you need to look for safe bets. And there's a lot of stuff that isn't a safe bet. Video to me, and this is why we're having you on, that's why we read the book, I'm like, video is a safe bet. In a sea of not very safe bets, this is a pretty damn safe one. So, okay, here are some common objections, right? You mentioned a few. Marcus, it's too expensive. Marcus, nobody's going to watch. Marcus, I tried it before, it didn't work. Or, and this one I can forgive a little, Marcus, I wouldn't even know where to start. This seems confusing. It's a bunch of equipment. It seems like a bunch of work. I wouldn't know where to start. Do you want to just sort of like piece by piece annihilate those objections for us?
Yeah. So let's start with the expensive one. If somebody said to me right now, Marcus, what is like the most effective way to build my brand and to improve my marketing, also my sales in 2024, I'd come right out and say YouTube Shorts and just vertical short form video.
In general.
And what I'm really, really talking, TikTok, Facebook Reels, Instagram Reels. Because if you look at YouTube Shorts, that is still a frontier for search. Whereas, let's say in your industry, search, SEO, whatever you want to call it, let's say it's dried up. You're not having a lot of success, which, by the way, there's still a ton of opportunities for success there, but let's say it was. Well, short form video is incredible on YouTube for search. And every single contractor could be using that right now from a search perspective, right? Now, what's the cost, though, by the way, of a short? Well, there is no cost other than time and your cell phone. That's the beauty of it. I've got a YouTube channel because I'm really big into fishing. And I've got a YouTube channel called the Saltwater Fishing University. And we do mainly offshore fishing stuff. And, you know, I did long form video for 2 years. It was expensive, took a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of energy. Didn't get a lot of subscribers, maybe like 10,000. And then this year I started doing shorts and immediately I popped off and now I'm at 60,000. And it's just crazy the difference that it makes. And so every single thing in our industry, if you look at, you know, the contractor world, is visual, and there's a story behind every single freaking project. It's awesome. There's a before, there's an after, there's a story to show, a story to tell. So shorts is the way to go for most people right now. You put it across the different vertical social platforms. You can use the same video if you want, especially if you keep them all under 1 minute. At first, you're going to feel a little bit clunky, but eventually you're going to get really good. And do you know what? My freaking daughter edits mine, dude. My daughter edits mine. Why? Because she's popping out her own daggone TikToks, right? So I guarantee everybody listening to this has got somebody in their family or something that knows how to do simple edits on their phone. I mean, even the editing is 100% by phone at this point, man. It's crazy. It's beautiful. It's wild. It's simple. It's easy. So that's one of the quickest ways. So there is no expense other than time. And if it comes down to time, because you know you already got your phone, time's the issue. Well, then it's never about time. Never. Because if we say we don't have the time, what we're really saying is I just don't really value that thing as much as all the other things going on in my life. It is never about time. I'm a busy dude. I'm going to fish like 200-300 hours a year. 200-300 hours a year, I'm fishing, time. Dude.
Yeah.
I'm freaking busy. Why? Because I love it, and I love taking my boy, and we're going to rock. We're going to have a great time, right? So it's a priority to me. I make it. So it's never in business about time, ever. So that's a lie that we tell ourselves, and I've told myself that lie before as a, you know, as a CEO of multiple companies. Okay, so you also mentioned, where do I
start? Nobody's going to watch. Oh, sorry. Let's start with that one. Yeah, I don't know where to start.
So here's one of the simplest things that you can do. I'm going to give you the quickest route, especially if you've already listened to our previous episode and you've heard about The Ask, You Answer, which is my other book, which crushes, and you should read it if you're listening to this, because it's bad to the bone. I ain't lying. It crushes for anybody in the home improvement space. Dead on the money, killer framework. So what you want to do is you want to go to ChatGPT right now. All right, I'm going to give you the prompt, so listen up, folks. And here's what I want you to say to ChatGPT. You're an expert on Marcus Sheridan's They Ask, You Answer framework. I want you to come up with 50 potential blog articles or videos that address the most common questions that someone would have when purchasing whatever that thing is that you sell. Okay? Next line. Focus on such subjects as cost, problems or fears, comparisons, reviews, and best. That's it. And now all of a sudden, you're going to get 50 potential questions that people are searching all the time. You can start right there. You don't even have to have a brain to ideate this yourself, which, by the way, I mean, I generally say that you should start with the questions that you hear every single day from potential customers. That's a no-brainer. But if you feel like being lazy, do what I just did. And you want to talk about amazing in terms of ideation, really where AI, especially ChatGPT, has great legs is with ideation.
Yeah.
It's not great with recommendation at all, right? People aren't using it to find out who are the best, siding contractors in Richmond, Virginia. They're not using it for that. What they're using it for is for ideation, which is very powerful, and for some creation. So creation, ideation, but not recommendation. And so what we just did there is ideation. You get 50 pieces of content. Heck, you could have said 100. The number didn't matter. But now all of a sudden, that's where you start. And you say, okay, I can produce shorts off of each one of these right now. And you can literally, like, I've had a whole bunch of occasions, Benji, I'm sure you have too, as a video guy, where, you know, you can pop off 20, 30, 40 videos in a day, right? You just stack them up. You know, the power of stacking video. So you don't have to dedicate a ton of time. And now you just popped off 30 videos. You did it in one day, which I do consistently. And now you don't have to worry about it until next month or 2 months later or whatever it is. That's incredibly efficient,
them.
Man.
Yeah, you bank them.
Yeah, it's a thousand times more efficient than the written word in terms of your ability to produce it at scale. And, you know, most of the people that are listening to this are good with talking to customers, right? That's why we became an entrepreneur. So if you're good with talking to customers, you should be good on video. Don't give yourself the lie that I'm just not good on camera. That's BS. That's a total lie. I've had people tell me before, Benji, yeah, I'm just not good on camera. And then I give them a few tips and tricks, trainings. And like 45 minutes later, after doing some of them, practicing some of them, they're like, oh my gosh, I think I'm a natural. Like 45 minutes ago, they're saying, this ain't my thing. Totally. 45 minutes later, now they're saying, hey, I think I might be a natural. And it's just by learning a few different techniques and suddenly you can become very effective on camera.
Yeah, it doesn't take long. It's a few reps.
Hey, can we talk about those techniques real quick?
Sure.
Let me just pop off a couple, because if you're saying, you know, how do I get started? Well, if you're going to get started doing this, we talked about video, we talked about shorts, right? We talked about using your kid as an editor, right? We haven't spent any money yet. So we're rocking and rolling. And so in terms of rules for video performance, let me just give you a couple easy ones that I teach everybody and they're incredibly effective. A couple of essential rules here. First one, what we call the no stop rule. Okay. And that is this. You need to treat every video as once it's starting, no matter what you say, even if you feel like you screwed up, you don't stop until the end. Now, you might say, well, what if I screw up? Okay, folks, listen to me here. When was the last time you were sitting with a homeowner in a sales appointment? You kind of flubbed a word. You said something wrong. You stopped the whole thing. And you said, you know what? How about we just start all of this over again? You see, nobody's ever done that. So you're living this technique every single time you go into somebody's home. Because we've all botched up our words and our phrases. You and I are going to botch it up right now, Benji, but we're going to keep going. because we're following the no stop rule, right? And so the no stop rule, you have to like bludgeon it into your team. But as soon as they commit to, okay, I promise, no matter what happens, I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, I screwed that up. Nope, keep going. Then it's rock and roll. Okay, so that's the first one. Second one sounds real simple, but it makes a difference. We call it the 3-second smile rule. What's the 3-second smile? And that's this. Before the video starts, you smile for 3 seconds and you hold that smile into the video when they hit record. And this way, it's not like they hit record and you're suddenly smiling, right? Now you're coming off of your smile. It affects your energy. It affects your vibe. It affects your comfort level. It's very, very effective. Third rule, and it's only going to give you three simple ones here. So we've got the no stop rule. We've got the 3-second smile. And the third rule is the good enough principle. And that is, if it's good enough, publish it. Don't sit there and dork around and say, but I could say it better. No. Is it good enough? Is it good enough? Because if you want to be perfect, if you think your brand's freaking BMW, it's not. Okay, so please, the ones that are willing to be imperfect, this is why we got all these like 15-year-old millionaires on TikTok. It's because they're launching imperfect stuff all day long and they just don't really care and they're laughing all the way to the bank. And so if we as business owners stop getting so caught up in the fact that I made a little screw up and I might be judged, which ultimately that's why we're not doing video. It's not because you're not good on camera. It's because you're afraid of being judged. Let's be honest. But you got into business. People judge you every single day. Every time you share a price, you're being judged. Every time they walk into your store, you're being judged. Everything you say, you're being judged. That's called being a business owner. So we just have to get over that because that's what we signed up for.
Mm-hmm. This no stop rule really hits home for us. You know, we've done 150 episodes of this podcast, and I'd say one in every 5 guests goes, like, we can edit this, right? Like, if I screw up, we can do another take. And I go, actually, we can't. Like, every single episode is a one take wonder. Number one, you screw up once and then we restart. You're going to screw up a second time. You screw up a third time, a 10th time. And then you're really kind of, you get the yips, as they say in sports. Your brain is messed. So that's the first reason. The second reason, my editors have better stuff to do than edit your multiple takes. So this is a one take wonder. We're going to start it and we're going to finish it all in one go and it's going to be great. And you can flub as many words as you want. It's going to be good enough. The audience will get the gist of it. And so anyway, it's not lost. I mean, those are really, really great points. That is going to make a great short. We'll clip that up and make a little YouTube short out of it. Hey,
there you go. Repurposing, ladies and gentlemen.
Marcus, let's talk about wardrobe for a second. So you can see I got a very nice top on. I got a very nice hat on. Wardrobe today is provided by Wade Roberts Plumbing. So Wade and Vangel Roberts run this business. They're based in Victoria, BC. They've been Breakthrough Academy members for 4 years. They worked with Coach Ashley for the first while, although now they're in the leaders circle. Big challenge they're trying to solve in 2024, Marcus. They need to figure out incentives and bonus structures for the whole team. It's kind of tricky for like a plumbing and heating business that does service calls. So they're trying to figure out bonus structures for the whole team. And then the win more recently is they've structured more clear leadership roles and delegated a bunch of tasks to those leaders as they prepare to have one of them enter management for greater responsibility in 2025. Any thoughts or comments on structuring bonus packages or developing a leadership team?
I actually speak a ton on leadership communication. It's one of my major passion areas. 99% of the managers I've ever met with, I've asked, have you ever given someone a one-on-one, like with a team member? Pretty much everybody says yes. And then I say, were you ever trained explicitly on how to give an effective one-on-one? Almost 100% say, no, I was never trained on that. It might've been given a little form that said, you know, ask these questions. It's a joke. And so if you want to have great leaders, you have to learn great communication skills. And let me just give one little principle here. The majority of leaders feel like when somebody comes to them with a problem that they've addressed a million times, the big issue is what we want to do, what we end up doing is we answer the problem, the question quickly. And what happens? Well, when we do that, we're teaching that person, when you have a problem, you come to me. That's a terrible thing to teach a team member. Whereas the great leaders, somebody comes to them with a problem, right? The great leader hears it out. They have the answer. But instead of giving the answer, they say, you know what? I think we can figure this out together. Can I ask you some questions? Person says, yeah, sure, boss. And then you get the person now thinking that came to you with the problem. You get them thinking about the solution. And as soon as they get in that mindset, now they are thinking like a leader. So the great leaders need to learn how to develop other leaders. How do you do it? By stop feeling like you need to be the hero and start asking world-class questions that allows the person to have what's called a light bulb moment. A light bulb moment is otherwise known as an aha moment, when the person says something like, I got it. I know exactly what I should do. Or, you know what? Come to think of it, Benji, I've got an answer to that. Or, you know what? Just had an idea. And then as the leader, you're the one saying, you're right. Because every conversation ends with you're right. The question is, are they saying to you, you're right, Benji, you're the man. I knew I could come to you. I'm so glad I came to you. You're always right, Benji. Or are you, as the leader, Benji, saying to them when they're all done, you're right. That's the perfect answer. That's exactly what I would have said.
There's some very great advice to you, Wade and Vangel. Thanks for the close. Really appreciate you guys. For those of you listening, if you want to work with 600 really high-powered entrepreneurs with businesses like yours, you want to work with the best coaches in the industry, that's what we do at Breakthrough Academy. So you can click the link below. We'll put it somewhere here. Or go to our website, www.btacademy.com. Let's get back to this video conversation.
Wait, I got to say something else though, Benji.
Sure.
I'm sure, you know, you're probably saying, Marcus, shut up. Everybody needs a freaking coach, dude. Everybody needs a coach. One of the biggest mistakes I made in business early on was this naivete that I could handle it and do it myself. Of course, you didn't ask me to say this. Everybody needs a coach. I got three freaking coaches that I work with. Mm. Me personally, I'm a high performer, I have a lot of money, and I have three coaches because I'm obsessed with personal development and accountability. And I know that if somebody ain't holding me accountable, I'm going to become a slacker. And so I think it's awesome what you do. I think it's awesome what you guys offer, because everybody needs a coach.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, we really appreciate that. And we think we have a really good program here. So, you know, we do this podcast for a wider audience. We want to give free content away for the people who maybe aren't ready for Breakthrough Academy or who are just checking it out. But like, if you like the podcast, I promise you're really going to love the full program. So anyway, let's leave it at that. I appreciate the kind words, and you're absolutely right about needing a coach. It is naive to think you don't need one. Okay, I want to get to these six. There's like in the book, right? There's like these six videos that you talk a lot about, and we're going to go through each and spend a couple minutes. It's just sort of a very tactical, very pragmatic section for our listeners. But before we do, there's actually kind of an important preface to it, which is, you know, my listeners know that I'm a big fan of story brand. I'm a big fan of all things brand communications and brand messaging. Read a lot about it, talk a lot about it, do a lot of work on it for us here at Breakthrough Academy. You know, ultimately with these videos, we are trying to explain what we do in a clear and concise way. Why do so many businesses, whether they're equipped with video or not yet, just thinking of that question, why do so many businesses at explaining what they do in a clear and concise way? Have you thought about that?
Oh, yeah, of course. I think one of the biggest reasons is because most suffer from what's called the curse of knowledge, right? And the curse of knowledge is when you've been doing something for so long, you forget what it's like to be ignorant of that thing. So like a perfect, like, here's an example. My mom, she's in the medical field. I ask her, hey, mom, how's your day at work? She's going to start popping off a lot of these medical phrases that I don't even understand. She's not good at explaining it because it's so embedded in her, all these particular medical phrases. She thinks I know what she's talking about. Come on now, I'm a pool guy, right? So I don't know what the heck she's talking about. That's the curse of knowledge. Along these same lines, what happens is we think, let's say as contractors, that a lot of the stuff we do is obvious to the world. It's not obvious to the world, man. And so if you can start appreciating what it is to be an ignorant, and I say that in a positive way, an ignorant consumer, that doesn't know. They haven't done it before. They haven't been trained on this. It's like nobody ever went to school to buy a pool. They weren't taught how to buy a pool. They come into it ignorantly. It's the same thing with pretty much all things home improvement, right? And so with that being said, now you got to say to yourself, okay, how do I put myself in their shoes and start to think like them? What are the questions, worries, fears, issues, concerns that they're asking, right? And that's why if you simplify it and don't make it so dang complex, it becomes so much easier for you to say, oh man, it's unlimited, the possibilities here.
Mm. Have you found any frameworks, any methodologies, any sort of multi-step processes that are useful in helping someone distill that messaging? And I can use us as an example. I mean, I've been with Breakthrough Academy for a long time. And I remember at the beginning, you'd be at a trade show. Hey, what do you guys do? Well, it's complicated. We do a little bit of this. We do a little bit of that. It's hard to explain. Just the worst pitch imaginable, right? And after years of banging my head against the wall, you know, I went through literally a taglining exercise. And when people ask me now, I say, we systemize contracting businesses for growth. Oh, cool. That makes sense. Tell me more about that. And then I can launch into the story and then I can launch into the pitch. But, you know, so StoryBrand worked for us. Like, I don't know if there's any advice that you could give around helping someone go from, well, it's really complicated. We do a bit of commercial, a bit of residential. We do this kind of work and that kind of work. We're kind of a GC, but we're also a home service business. It's just like, no, we do this. This is our brand. This is our brand message.
Yeah. I would say one place to start is your one word problem. The one word problem. So what is the one word problem that you solve? If you had to choose one, now this is very difficult to do, by the way, but if you spend enough time, you'll arrive to it. So if you ask me, Marcus, what's the one word problem you solve with your talent, skills, and abilities? It's disconnection. It's disconnection. So I teach brands how to connect with their audience. I teach sales professionals how to connect with the prospect, and I teach leaders how to connect with their team. But the fundamental problem that I solve is disconnection. So once you have the core problem, you can take the opposite that becomes the verb of what you do, and then it's just the who. So you have the problem, and then you have the who. And now you can have that very incisive statement, right? That is so necessary so that you can have that quick elevator pitch and that's actually effective, right? Versus saying, I'm a contractor. Like, what, right? It's not going to help. That's not going to help anyone.
I love that. The one word problem. And that is the discipline, is distilling it into one word, because you're going to want to use 100 and then 10. And then it really takes a while to kind of peel back the layers and go to first principles thinking. Okay, can we talk about these six videos in the book?
Yeah, pop off a few and then
Let me set this up and you can maybe backfill anything I miss. So one of the things that I really like about Marcus's body of work is it's very practical. There's quite a lot of sort of philosophical stuff at the beginning. Like this isn't just like a bullet pointed list of the things to do. But a lot of the times when you read business books, you kind of have like some ideas, some perspectives, some observations, but you, the reader, are left going, okay, great. Like, but what do I do now? And the thing I really loved about both his books and the visual sale, especially, is it literally is just like, if you're stuck, here are the videos you go make for your business, and here's why. So there were six. We spend a minute or two on each. I don't need to belabor the point too much, but there's the 80% video. There is employee bios on the email signature. There's product and service videos. There's cost and pricing videos, customer journey videos, and claims we make videos. Do you want to just pick your favorite from there?
Yeah, so I can pop these off pretty quick.
Yeah, do it.
So you take the 80% video. If you go to most sales teams and you say, what percentage of the questions you get on a sales call are pretty much the same questions every single time? Most are going to say about 80%. So my question for everyone is, why do you continue to answer those 80% over and over and over again? Do you enjoy Groundhog's Day? And so here's what you want to do. You want to write down the most common questions you know you're going to get asked when you go, let's say, into the home. I'm just hypothetical, into the home, right? You create one video that addresses each one of those questions. I would choose the top 7 to 10. All right. So choose the top 7 to 10 most repeated questions. Do one video that addresses all of them. take that video and always send it to the homeowner before you meet with them in person. So when you set the appointment, say, now listen, I know you have a bunch of questions. In fact, I've created a video that addresses this question, this question, this question, this question. And by you watching this, it's going to save us time. You're going to make less mistakes. And we're going to make sure that we have a most effective meeting. Will you take the time to review this before our meeting on Friday? Okay, it's that simple. It's a very clear commitment. And now your closing rates just went up and you're going to spend less time teaching and a lot more time selling, right? Which is the goal. So that's the 80% video. Any questions about that?
I would say it's a way more interesting sales pitch for the salespeople. If you have salespeople who are kind of a little bit past their best before date, they're kind of going stale because they're regurgitating the same stuff over and over and over. This is a great way to essentially answer the questions before they get asked, which prompts newer, fresher, more personalized, more customized, and frankly, more interesting questions that the prospect now gets to ask your salespeople. And so not only is it good for SR and sort of like metrics, it just makes for an enjoyable, in-person, in-house selling experience.
Yeah, like I said, less teaching, more selling. That's interesting to me. When you get to very specific things, if I'm going to a home and somebody says, so can you tell me again the difference between a fiberglass and a concrete pool? I mean, come freaking on. That's going to be it's going to be bad. All right.
Right.
They should already know that. And so if they don't know that, shame on me. So that's the first one. Then we've got bio videos. Bio video is a video that is about you. It's got two parts, a little bit about you on a personal level, what you do when you're not working, and a little bit about you as to why you chose your career. Now, the key though is where do you put that bio video? And usually they're about 90 seconds, a bio video, but you put it in your email signature, all right? Because you're constantly sending out emails. And again, we want people to feel like they know us, they've seen us, they've heard us before we actually meet with them in person. And so by doing this in your email signature, now you're going to have a lot of people that are going to watch that video about you, get to know you before you meet with them the first time. They can put a face and a voice to an actual name or to text or whatever. It's a bio video, simple to do. The tool that I recommend for that is called Wise Stamp. WISE Stamp is a really simple one, and it doesn't cost very much at all. Product service videos. So here's the thing about product service videos. On your website, you've got product or service pages right now. And these are some of the most viewed of your website. So what you want to do is you want to create one video for each one of those pages that's specific to that specific product or service. But here's the key. It's got two parts. One, who is that product or service for? And the second part, and the more important part, who is that product or service not a good fit for? You have to say that. Otherwise, you sound like everyone else. And you don't win their trust and you don't make that deep connection. But if you're willing to say who it's not a good fit for, now you're going to be really attractive to them. Okay. Fourth one here is the cost video. Now, with the cost video, everybody wants to say, I can't give them an actual price. Okay. So here's what you do. I want you to talk about what drives cost up, what drives cost down for the products or service. Why are some companies so expensive? Why are some companies so cheap? Four fundamental parts of a pricing video. And then the fifth part is roughly where do you fall, okay? So this is called value proposition that you're teaching to the marketplace, because otherwise they don't know what drives cost up, what drives cost down, why are some companies so expensive, why are some companies so cheap? Well, some companies don't have what's called workman's comp, and some companies don't have what's called a license, and some companies won't be around in 3 years, right? Because they have no margins. All right, so that's why some companies are cheaper. Now, don't say it like I did just now, which is a little bit schmucky, but you still say it the right way, right? In the right context, and you're honest about it. Okay, so that is the cost video. That one's probably going to be at least 5 to 7 minutes if you're doing a good job. Customer journey video. Customer journey video is just like the hero's journey. All right, the hero's journey can be broken down like every Disney movie. It's the beginning of time, all right? You've got this person, and all of a sudden they have a problem, and then they go on a journey, generally with a guide, and eventually they solve that problem, and everything's happy ever after, right? So that's the hero's journey with Disney. So with you, it works like this. You have videos with customers that you've worked with. They talk about the problem they had, where they were. They talk about the journey they went on with you, and they talk about where they are today because they went on that journey with you. Just having testimonials on your site isn't enough. We want to hear journeys from your customers, all right? The hero's journey is what that was. And then finally, the claims we make. And this is you know, people tell me, I say to companies, what makes you different? They give me claims and I'll say, okay, so how many of your competitors say that same claim about themselves? I guess most do. All right. So if everybody's saying it, what is it? What is it? It's just noise until you show the thing. And so I want you to take all your claims that you make that are consistent. Like, we have the highest trained staff. Okay. Show me the process by which they get trained. So a claims we make video takes those fundamental, let's say, you know, your unique selling proposition as a company, those things, those bullet points that you're like, this is what makes us special. And you prove them visually. That's claims we make. And those are all incredibly effective.
Yeah. The it's taking your brand promises and then and basically displaying the evidence that those are in fact backed in reality rather than just copy on a website. Let me just pick a couple things. This employee bios for on email signatures. It's a 90-second video. Are you usually, what is that tool and what does it do? Like, because in my mind, it's like, well, I would just make a YouTube, make a video, upload it to the company YouTube channel, unlist the video, and then link, maybe like get a thumbnail made by a graphic designer. You could dink around on Canva.
No, you don't
and have
need a
one.
Thumbnail because you're just putting, you're just putting a little snippet of code in there and it's going to just bring it up anyway. I mean, you can use the thumbnail, but you don't really need to do it. That's all you do. So you, by the way, I would suggest using this video too, though, on your employee section of your YouTube page. So this way each person has it. And then on the team section of your website. So you'll use it in at least three places, but the main place is on your signature, your email signature. The problem is most email signatures look terrible. The high majority don't have just an image of the face of the person, which is a crime against humanity. Right. I can't believe you're in sales and you don't have your face in your email signature. That should be illegal. And then the second one is an actual video that again shows that personal and professional side of you. And using YStamp is great because you can make a very professional signature in a matter of like minutes, and it costs like $100 a year.
Let's talk about product and service videos briefly for like this type of audience. So if you picture your typical contractor, they're building stuff. That stuff could be houses, it could be landscapes, they're working on buildings. They're painting them, they're plumbing them, they're doing the electrical work, they're doing the drywall, whatever. Like, what would be like in my mind? The perfect product or service video is a highly visual, highly engaging, it's quite dynamic. It's not talking head. It's not just somebody explaining to a camera, here's what we do. You are showing the work happen on actual job sites that you perform it. But through those through the B-roll and through the fancy edits, you're basically trying to explain your installation process to some degree. Hey, this is the steps we follow to build the beautiful homes that we build, to install the amazing pools that we install. Like, it's not just action shots. You're saying something. Am I kind of getting that right? Can you put a finer point on the product or service videos?
Well, you know, I mean, it all depends. Let's say that you're a siding contractor, and one of the options that falls under siding is like, let's say, you know, something like cement or Hardy style, you know, siding. So you might create a video and say, okay, so if you are considering siding, especially if you're considering like this James Hardy siding, you're probably saying, is it the right fit for my home? So in this video now, I'm going to explain to you who it's for, right, who it's not a good fit for. And by the end, you'll have a great sense as if it's the right fit for you. Now, yes, ideally, would you have B-roll in there? Yes, you're going to have B-roll in there. And yes, you're going to show a lot of visuals. But what matters most is by the end, they can clearly self-select as to fit or not fit, right? As the prospect, as the customer. You said ideally that it's not a talking head. Yeah, ideally. But if that's all you can do at first, do it,
right,
versus nothing.
Okay.
Right? Because some is better than none. Especially because you're addressing something, just the fact that you're willing to say, here's who should not be getting Hardy plank siding, right? It's like, okay, that makes sense. That's very helpful to me.
Something's better than nothing. I hear you. I'm always like, you know, I know this happens. It's happened to us before. You make one video and then you kind of like wash your hands of it. And you're like, oh, we're done. And then 7 years later, it's just like this super dated video. So I'm always like trying to push like, hey, build something that's as high production value as you can possibly afford at that stage.
I don't like that mindset, Benji.
You disagree?
I disagree.
Okay.
And here's the reason for that. It's because we all have to learn to crawl before we walk. Now, the idea is I want to build something that is always progressing in a better direction. But the idea that you're going to be great with video and that you're going to make great videos or make great shorts at first, I think that's naive. And I don't think it's going to happen for most people. The mindset is I'm going to put something out here. I'm going to do my best knowing that it's going to be very imperfect right now. And if it's a 6.5 out of 10, guess what? I'm going to do it because I need to get on the journey to becoming a 9 out of 10. But first I got to hit the 6.5, mm-hmm. right? If you wait until you have all the great B-roll and you have all the perfect lighting, you have all the perfect equipment and all those things, well, then you're probably not going to create something that is, well, you're going to limit a lot of people that could have gotten into the game.
Yeah. Fair enough. You kind of psych yourself out before you even start. Crawl before you walk is a good segue. I wanted to just sort of ask you some questions about getting started with this. Like, what is, for someone listening who's, you know, literally never done anything video related, like, what is the first step for someone in that situation? How do they just get started?
Well, there's a few different ways that you can do this. We've given a few today. So I gave you, in terms of ideation, we've yep. already had a great AI prompt that you could use that's going to be super effective, that is going to be some just great topics that you could immediately cover. In terms of equipment, we could start with your phone. In terms of platforms, we know we want to start with those vertical style platforms. So YouTube Shorts, Facebook Reels, Instagram Reels, and we have TikTok. Now, the one thing that you probably want to consider doing, and this is where it gets tricky for a lot of people, but this is going to make a big difference, is to get someone on staff that can be your content manager person. Now, this might be part-time, it might be full-time, you might need more than one depending on the size of your business. But if you're the owner, there's a good chance you don't have the time to be doing the editing and everything else that you want to do in terms of priorities, right? And so if you know that you're not going to make the time, then we bring in someone that is given that title and that's all they do. And so hypothetically, let's say you want to do a lot of shorts, but all you do is you have your little content manager there and this person, you know, they're good with, you know, making videos on their cell phone and you bring them out to job sites and, you know, you shoot videos on the job site, let's say, and you do that once a week. If you just do that once a week and you do a couple hours, you're going to be in the 1% like elite. Of your industry. Most won't do that. Most will never commit to having some type of content manager on staff. Again, even hiring part-time. I think that's a great, great move. And that person can do the uploading onto your channel for you and teach you how to do it because you probably don't know how to upload to TikTok maybe, right? So this person can get you started with that. I think that's a great way to go. There's plenty of people that, look, there's people that will do that. I have hired so many of those folks. I know they're out there. You just got to be willing to spend a little bit of money to bring somebody in and to have them wear that hat. And then you go in front of the camera, they're behind the camera or the phone in this case. And now you're off to the races in that regard.
Do you have an opinion about like you said, hire someone even if it's part-time, does that mean that you're more pro like hiring in-house versus maybe dabbling with a third party to start, like working with an agency or finding a local video production company, or maybe there's someone on Fiverr that you can hire? Like, is there a case to be made for someone who's really novice before they invest in a salary working with a third party to just kind of get the ball rolling?
I've seen both, but here's what I know to be true. And agencies don't like hearing this. So, you know,
plug your ears.
I want to plug your ears here. And as someone that owns an agency, right, I made the decision early on that I wanted world-class case studies. I had never seen a world-class case study where somebody outsourced all their content, never saw it, like where they became the most trusted, the WebMD of their space. I had never seen it before. who becomes the WebMD of their space, the most known? It's the ones that can produce their own content, right? At least 80% of it. Now, I'm not opposed to outsourcing some content, but I believe, and I really mean this, that the future of your business and the future of the internet is going to be decided with those that can insource and not outsource, those that have the capabilities in-house. But think about it too. Why did we get into business ourselves? Because we wanted to control our destinies. That's what an entrepreneur is. They're a control freak. And so when you're constantly having, this is why for so many websites are so frustrating, because you got to make a phone call for someone to fix a typo on your website. You like that? I don't like that, right? That's why having a simple website to get in and be able to change yourself, at least to a degree, maybe not do all the program, but at least to a degree, fix the freaking typo for the love of Pete, right? Everybody should be able to do that, right? When we lose control, we start to lose our business, right? And so I believe if you can do it in-house, that is the goal. If the bridge is outsourcing, good. But outsourcing is not a long-term solution if you're looking to become the best.
It's a stopgap. And I am 100% aligned. We are literally producing what I think are world-class case studies as we speak. We're flying, me and Matt, who's off camera right now, but we will literally fly to location. We spend 2 days with our clients. We do an interview. They tell us the story. We capture B-roll. We talk in the truck. We do drone shots. We do everything to produce this. And people go, that's time. That's resources to go and do that. And my answer to that is it would be three times that to farm that out to an agency, and the product we would get back would be, I would say, significantly worse in terms of the narrative that's captured, the way the aesthetic is brought to life, how the whole narrative is weaved. It's so palpable and different. I was curious. I hear what you're saying. It is truly a stepping stone. So if you want to you're really nervous about this, you don't want to invest in the gear, the overhead or whatever, you could use an agency for the very short term. But if you're serious about this long term, this is absolutely a division in your business that you need to build.
Think like a media company, right? So if you're thinking like a media company, media companies don't outsource all their media.
Right.
It's like they actually have the ability to produce some of their own. And, Picasso ain't Picasso if he ain't holding the paintbrush. It's hard for him to instruct somebody how to paint and then to produce a Picasso piece of work. It's just not going to happen. And so, again, I'm not anti-outsourcing, but I'm just very, very pro-insourcing.
Okay, fun one to close here. What are three videos not to make? What are three videos that are an absolute colossal waste of time? No one watches them. Don't bother.
I don't know about. I probably had three in the book. I don't even remember what I said. I know one of the most wasted and most expensive is that About Us video that is so freaking common. Nobody's ever said, gosh, if I could just see a great About Us video from this company, I would buy from them. It just doesn't really work that way. So, I see companies blow 90% of their video budget on an About Us video, and it just doesn't have legs, right? So that's a big problem. But all the other videos that I see are problematic just because they're just grossly biased and they don't show both sides of the coin. There's a principle that I teach everybody with communication, which is we call it the law of the coin. That is the coin. It's always got two sides. Some people say a coin has three sides, but that's dumb. It's got two sides, right? And so every product or service you sell has got two sides. You just have to learn to be able to talk about both sides. And when you do that, you induce way more trust. And so the problem that I see lots of times is somebody might sit there and say, oh, I want to do a video today on vinyl siding. Why it's the greatest thing ever and why you should buy it. And listen, when I see titles of blog articles and videos, it's like, why you should? I'm like, I already can tell. You don't get it because you sound very, very biased already.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I 100% feel the same way. And you're trying to bring transparency into the video. And when you're not doing that, when it's spun the way that a political campaign ad is spun, right? There's clearly some inherent bias baked in here. That's not what consumers want. Okay. Tell us this, then we'll wrap. How will we know this is working? You could give us some data. Maybe there's some data that we can expect to see in our dashboards and KPI, or maybe it's a feeling, just a feeling that we have, or things we notice about our business, our brand, our team, the way our customers talk to us. If we do this a year down the road, 2 years down the road, certainly 5 years down the road, what will it feel like to us as entrepreneurs in our businesses?
I'll give you a story to answer this question. It's a good close. So for a long time, I never did video with my swimming pool company. And I would knock on the door. And when I had an appointment, this is because I did the in-home selling. And for years, I would knock on the door and I would hear oftentimes a kid say, Mom, Dad, pool guy's here. I heard that for years, right? Then we started to do video. And one time, I can just remember it so distinctly. I was at the doorstep one evening, knocked on the door, saw this little kid look at me, and he yelled back to the parents, Mom, Dad, the guy in the video's here.
Right.
And then, right before the end, I kid you not, knocked on the door, and I heard a kid say, Mom, Dad, Marcus from the video is here. Now, what do you think that sales appointment was like?
Real good.
Freaking awesome. So, had they seen me? Yes. Did they know me? Yes. Did they trust me? Yes. Right? And that's the goal. That's how you know it's working, man. You start to feel something different. I remember, and you probably can relate to this, Benji. I've had podcasts at different time. I once had this girl, true story, say to me when she met me in some conference, you were with me in the shower this morning, Marcus. I was like, excuse me. She said, yeah, I listened to your podcast in the shower. I said, son of a gun, right? Same thing. Right?
Yeah.
So you know it's working when you hear crazy stuff like that.
It's that sense of familiarity. It's that sense of being recognized. It's that sense of comfort that they have with you rather than apprehension that they have about you. And I think I've gone through this myself over the last 3 years doing this podcast. It is very, very noticeable. And the results speak for themselves. So listen, why don't we leave it at that? You've said it all, my friend. Just where can people follow you, and where can people get the book, The Visual Sale?
Yeah. Just go to Amazon. Visual Sale, They Ask You Answer. They both talk a lot about video. If you're on LinkedIn, make sure you connect with me on LinkedIn. Website, MarcusSheridan.com. Also have an agency, ImpactPlus.com, where we teach people how to implement the Visual Sale and They Ask You Answer into the organization. But you don't need me. You should need Contractor Evolution. That's what y'all need.
What? Thanks, brother. I really appreciate you carving out the time for us. Guys, if you're not following Marcus and all of his stuff, we've read both his books. We're using it to inform our website rebuild. We're using it to inform our video strategy. This is the most common sense approach to this subject matter that I found in the space. So cannot say enough good things about Marcus. Thank you, brother. We'll see you again soon.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Thanks a lot for listening to this episode of Contractor Evolution. If you've already subscribed to our channel, consider sharing this episode with another contractor who you think needs to hear it.